I'm chatting today with Jay Sloss, who is a philosopher. How are you, Jay?
Good, thank you. Thanks for having me along.
Oh, my pleasure. So philosophy seems quite an abstract idea, and you deal with philosophy in the secondary school arena currently. So perhaps you could explain a little bit about what is philosophy and how does it fit in New Zealand education system, perhaps?
Sure. Well, I mean, being a relatively new subject for the secondary level, you know, we have to really think about how we're going to put some of these ideas to work so it's appropriate for students of that age, because, I mean, we're teaching from year 7 right up to year 13 in the senior school. Mm. But, I mean, as far as what philosophy is itself, that's a relatively simple definition. Looking at the word, it comes from two Greek words, philia and sophia, philia being lover and sophia being wisdom. So together, philosophy is about the love of wisdom, and a philosopher, I guess, is a loveur of wisdom. But at a secondary level, it's, I guess, we are trying to impart some kind of wisdom to students, but it's more in the application of the ideas, I guess, so that the students see how these ideas can actually be put to work in everyday life.
Mm.
I think it's crucial at that stage that they don't just see it as a purely academic discipline. They understand how it works outside of the classroom as well.
And what kinds of ideas are you trying to get them to come to terms with?
Well, like I say, it's things that relate to everyday life. So, for example, looking at what you eat. Looking at whether we're morally justified to eat meat, for example.
Right.
Whether just because we enjoy the taste of an animal's flesh, does that morally justify us taking its life to eat it?
Mm.
And really, we're trying to sensitise students to, I guess, those questions which, in a sense, are deep, but also sort of underlie, I guess, the more superficial aspects of our everyday life. So, I mean, animal ethics features pretty strongly at the junior level. But then as we get into the senior level, we start looking at questions about the meaning of life and how people make their lives meaningful, how they add purpose and a sense of value to their lives. So we do explore certain theories, certainly, but as I say, the application is really the principal concern.
And how do the, particularly the younger students, respond to that? Are they able to approach that? Is it a scaffolded approach that you take, or what happens?
Well, depending on the class, they're actually surprisingly enthusiastic about it. Mm. You know, at first, when I began teaching at a secondary level, I was concerned the theories would be too abstract or just too far removed from the everyday concerns. But even when they do become quite abstract, they're still really enthusiastic about learning a slightly different way of thinking.
Mm.
That's, in a sense, not black and white, because philosophy, I guess, notoriously in some people's minds, doesn't have a black or white answer.
Right.
And some students can find that frustrating, but others revel in it and enjoy, I guess, exploring an idea with the freedom to really not worry if you're right or wrong as such. So junior students, respond very well to the material and love applying the ideas as well.
Mm.
I mean, especially with animals and stuff like that, they love that kind of thing. But being able to see it at work, you know, in the news, I guess that's more for senior students. The juniors don't really like the news or anything like that. But I think, the pleasure comes from seeing the idea at work and extending beyond the classroom. I think that derives a lot of pleasure from that.
I think it's great, because I always worry, and perhaps this is not fair on our New Zealand young people, but having lived in France, it always seemed to me that French young people had lots of opinions and could discuss these things, and they've typically done philosophy as part of their education for a long time.
Mm.
So I think it feels good to me to have philosophy within our system to be pushing them into having opinions and discussing things. Are they reticent to give? Well, you're saying they enjoy talking about things, but I often find in my classes that they struggle to form opinions if they haven't heard someone else talk about it first.
Yeah, they often do look for something to take their lead from.
Yeah.
And in that respect, it can be a little bit stifling at times, and especially because it's not a core part of our curriculum like it is in various parts of France. It means that they haven't really got the resources sort of from a very young age to deal with these sorts of questions, and so can initially be reluctant to table their opinion and can lack a little bit of confidence. But as the lessons progress, I mean, that confidence builds and rapidly as well.
Mm.
And part of that's to do with scaffolding Philip Cam has done a lot of work with a method called the Community of Inquiry, and that scaffolds discussion, and students learn how to present an argument, how to identify sort of good reasoning and bad reasoning. And once they've got those skills, well, not mastered, but once they're aware of what those skills demand, then their confidence equally grows to really, you know, put forth what they think and why they think it and back up what they say.
That's great. And it's interesting that it's not taught in every school, philosophy, is it? Is it? How widespread? Is it becoming more popular in New Zealand? Or
Slowly, very slowly. I mean, it was only last year in 2009 that the Ministry of Education officially recognised it as a subject for secondary schools. I mean, there's small pockets throughout the country, and we're trying to coordinate all of those small pockets together into a network, as it were. And the Secondary School Philosophy Teachers Association, which I'm part of with Richard Tweedy from Hagley, is part of an initiative to bring all of those disparate groups together so that we can have both a unified front as well as developing curriculum resources that we can all use.
Absolutely.
So hopefully in the future year we'll see a lot more of it in schools, not just in the private sphere or the, I guess, alternative schools, if you want to describe them that way.
Sure. But would you like to see it? Does it need to be recognised and be an assessed subject, or is it best to leave it a non-assessed?
Good question. I think assessments can certainly stifle creativity and the pressures there and can get on top of some students. But the feedback by and large has been, why can't I get credits for this? Students are certainly looking and interested in completing credits for philosophy papers. And some people are already doing that with achievement standards from other subjects, like classics, for example. When we study ancient Greek philosophy, you can use a lot of classics achievement standards for credits, even in spheres of history, economics, and so on. We can use some standards there. And so they can technically get credits for philosophy, but really they're not sort of official credits as yet. But my hope again is in the future, yeah, that 2 or 3 years' time, I'll be able to get credits directly related to philosophy.
But at the moment, and hopefully it'll continue to, it really assists with their thinking in other subjects, which is great.
Yeah.
And maybe they can see, having a subject like that that's not actually assessed on its own, perhaps they see it having more application to other subjects, whereas it's difficult sometimes to see the connections between what they learn in French and how they can apply that in other subjects. But perhaps with philosophy, it is more of a subject they can carry with them, or hopefully.
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, those skills in reasoning are obviously valuable, and, you know, identifying. I mean, the internet, for example, is, you know, full of, you know, amazing stuff, but also a whole lot of junk.
Yes.
So to be able to have the skills to discriminate, you know, a good argument from a bad one, or to be able to simply question and doubt what you're reading is obviously a huge asset. But yeah, I even just basic skills, sensitizing students to, I guess, a sense of wonder about the world and a sense of mystery even. I think that you can get a lot of mileage out of that throughout your life. So yeah, that's from that point of view, I think, you know, philosophy has a lot to offer there. And especially given the new focus of the curriculum, or one of them, new focuses being on this sort of interdisciplinary approach, whereby subjects aren't discrete anymore, they're supposed to show a degree of connectivity.
That's right.
And I think philosophy certainly does draw a number of links between subjects. So economics, for example, you know, business ethics, biology, biological ethics, you know, environmental ethics. I guess the ethical sphere is an easy road in to make those connections. But once those inroads have been made, I think, yeah, it's very fertile ground for more connections to be made.
And how did you get into philosophy?
Through watching TV and movies, actually. a number of movies. In fact, it was Peter Sellers in his last movie, Being There, which was a fantastic movie. It's an adaptation of Jerry Kaczynski's book of the same name, I think. And the film is interesting. He was neglected his whole life by his father and was raised by television. And then one day sort of his father dies and he's forced to go out to the real world. And you know, I won't spoil the film, but there were a number of sort of quite strong philosophical ideas coming through in the film. And I simply didn't understand the depth of the ideas, and that was frustrating to me. I loved the film, it's a great film. But as I sort of researched into it, trying to understand the various themes, I struck upon the work of Martin Heidegger, a German philosopher who originally came up with this idea of being there and what that actually means. I mean, in a nutshell, it's a branch of philosophy called existentialism, which is to do with how, the philosophy of life, simply put. And Heidegger had this idea about being there. And it's beautifully demonstrated in the film. And it was really from there that I would just springboard from one philosopher to the next. Heidegger's been hugely influential on Western philosophy.
Mm.
And so it was really just from that movie that it all began, some sort of 13 years ago.
So then you studied that at university?
Or? Yep, then went to university, took a few papers there. In fact, pretty much indulged my philosophical appetite and took as many as I could. Completed my master's degree there, and then my teaching qualification, and really at a stage when I was kind of not sure, everyone was saying, well, what are you going to do with philosophy? What's the point? What job are you going to get out of that? I was quite surprised one day to see an ad in the paper for a part-time philosophy teacher.
Yeah.
Unbelievable. So, immediately applied for that, and we've just gone from strength to strength at the school I'm at. The gifted and talented program really support it, as well as senior management here, so... that was basically the path.
Mm. And how do you feed your passion for philosophy? So through reading, I guess, is one of the your own thing. Do you set yourself with philosophical challenges?
Yeah, sometimes I do, yeah. I've certainly got a lot of philosophical interests, and I guess the challenge is to make it interesting to a student as well. It's one thing for me to find something fascinating, but I sort of figure if I find it fascinating and have this sense of awe and wonder about it, there's no reason why other people won't as well.
Mm.
So part of it is about presenting a complex idea in an easily digestible way so that they can get a taste for the depth, and then they can take it further. I mean, that's the challenge I certainly enjoy, is taking a sophisticated idea, being faithful to the idea while presenting a simplified version of it, and then seeing the students being struck by that sense of awe and wonder about the idea, that's truly satisfying. Yeah, so that's probably the best part of the job.
Yeah.
Mm.
And apart from students, do you get to, are there other budding philosophers, I suppose in the teachers' network there may be, but do you've got people to sit around and mull over these ideas with, or?
Yeah. I mean, like I say, the school's been really supportive of it, so in terms of the, theology, for example, with the religious studies department. I mean, they're always happy to explore various ideas. And, other people, I'm sort of being approached by other people for just extension in their subject and things like that. So, to look about how we can add a bit of value in their subject, we'll end up discussing these things. So philosophers can be a strange breed.
Is there a club in Christchurch?
Kind of. I think there are some informal meetings, but nothing official as such. Most of it probably goes on in bars around the city, things like that, I'd imagine.
So if people wanted to have something to say in these bars around the city or come out with some erudite thing at a party about philosophy, they had a sort of inkling that philosophy sounded interesting, where's a good place to start to be informed about philosophical ideas and histories and so on?
Well, Alfred North Whitehead sort of famously or infamously said that the whole of Western philosophy is a footnote to Plato. So I think there's some truth in that, that if you want to start anywhere, you start with Plato. Because if you start with Plato, the ancient Greek philosopher, then Socrates is on board there and Aristotle as well. They're kind of the three top guns. Some people would even claim they've said everything that's going to be said about philosophy, and everything in a sense is a derivative from that. I guess that's what Whitehead was saying with the footnote comment. I would certainly recommend Plato, in particular The Republic, a fantastic work and a very rich palette of philosophical ideas there. So if you were to start anywhere, it would be The Republic, Plato, very readable, very interesting.
Well, thank you very much, Jay.
Thank you for having me.